public pension fund system in the world, universal. And he did look after the working class on the basis of a social contract. We will increase your living standards, we will protect you, but you will have to forfeit all your democratic rights, all your trade union rights, you will belong to me, the Duce, and you will belong to your employer, who is my main funder, the Fiat factories and so on. Huh? That was a deal. Now, if you look at the attitude of this Polish government, is patriarchal, misogynist, xenophobic, looks after workers and families by lifting minimum wages and minimum pensions, and at the same time demands complete allegiance and loss of democratic rights from the population. We do have a postmodern 1930s.
Former Greek finance minister, economist Yanis Varoufakis, speaking this week after attending the Sanders Institute gathering in Burlington, Vermont, where he, Senator Sanders, and others launched the Progressive International. To see a video, audio, podcast transcript of the show, you can go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Will be broadcasting from the UN Climate Summit in Katowice, Poland, all next week. Tune in. Democracy Now! Has an immediate job opening for a full-time social media manager here in New York City. Resumes are being reviewed as received, so apply online today. Details at democracynow.org. A very happy birthday to Carla Wills and Igor Moreno. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Libby Rains. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much.
And it is 5:01 here at your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Up next is the KBOO Evening News.
Join me every first and third Friday from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. From the grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and political commentary. We will ease your troubled mind with licensed mental health counselor Cheryl Jefferson, political analysis provided by the Prophet of Rage, and calling in from the planet of rhythm and blues, musicologist Professor Soul. From the grassroots, I'm your host, Lanita Duke, on 90.7 FM, KBOO in Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor this Monday's Clinton Street Resistance film, Les Miserables, on Monday, December 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. Les Miserables is a 2012 musical drama based on the 1862 French novel of the same name by Victor Hugo. The film takes place during early 19th century and tells the story of Jean Valjean, who, after breaking parole, agrees to care for a factory worker's daughter. The story reaches resolution against the background of the June Rebellion. The screening is a benefit for Oregon Walks. Again, that's Les Miserables on Monday, December 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is excited to be part of the 2018 Willamette Week Give Guide.
This year, Willamette Week and KBOO are challenging our community to give with their dollars and take action by showing up in real life. KBOO has been showing up for over 50 years.
Give to KBOO today and you get full access to the Chinook Book app, plus freebies from Laughing Planet, Gluten Free Gem, Wii Press, and Nosa Familia Coffee. You can contribute right now at kboo.fm/give
or call 503-231-8032.
Support KBOO,
where music makes the movement.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Multnomah County Cold Weather Advisory.
Christmas tree permits available.
And in international news, Yemen humanitarian crisis.
Good evening. This is the KABU Evening News for Friday, December 7th, 2018. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund.
And I'm Rachel Hartley. Veteran Portland Police Commander Stephen Jones has pleaded no consent to reckless driving. Jones, a 24-year-long Portland police veteran, crashed his police vehicle into a flight pole while off-duty. He was later booked for drunk driving. Jones has been on paid administrative leave since June, the time, accident, and will pay the city over $38,000
in damages. An internal affairs investigation is still ongoing.
The Oregon Music Hall of Fame is pleased to announce that applicants for its college scholarships are available again. The application deadline is February 14, 2019. Each applicant should be a student studying music with the talent of instrument or voice, graduating spring 2019 from an Oregon high school, and continuing their collegiate university academics as a major or minor in music at any college or university in the country. The Oregon Music Hall of Fame strives to inspire continuance of higher musical education by offering assistance with college expenses so that music students may aspire to the level of those that have musically made an impact before and the immense variety of music that they have created for our community.
Have you considered skipping the lot and exploring the forest to find your Christmas tree this year? Personal use Christmas tree cutting permits from the Mount Hood and Pittock National Forests near Portland and Vancouver are now available to Forest Service offices and many local vendors. The permits cost $5 each and include a map of cutting areas and an information sheet with special instructions for cutting Christmas trees on the national forests. Because winter weather in the forest can change rapidly and most forest roads are not maintained for winter driving, forest staff recommends that you bring traction devices and a shovel, extra food, drinking water, winter clothing, blankets, a flashlight, and a first aid kit. Also, don't forget a tool for cutting the tree and a rope or cord to secure it to your vehicle. Tree cutting and travel may take longer than anticipated. Everyone advised to let a friend or family member know where you're going, get an early start, and leave the woods well before the dark. The Mount Hood National Forest is also one of four national forests participating in an online permitting process. This grant allows you to purchase your 2018 Christmas tree permit from the comfort of your own home. Learn more by visiting openforest.fs.usda.gov.
Eli Lilly has recently launched Lilly Diabetes Solution Center and Helpline in the African American community. The American Diabetes Association estimates that over 30 million Americans are affected by diabetes, and it's the seventh leading cause of deaths in the United States. Studies show that Black Americans are disproportionately affected by diabetes in comparison to the general population. The rates of diagnosed diabetes among African Americans is 12.7% compared to 7.4% of whites, according to the American Diabetes Association. The African American community faces an increase of diabetes diagnosis, but also faces numerous health care challenges when trying to manage diabetes, such as costs for the treatments, medications, limited supplies, and access to primary care to maintain a quality of life. The Solution Center is intended to ensure people receive comprehensive treatment for diabetes. This is especially great news for African Americans, many of whom are affected by diabetes and its long-term effects on the body. The collaboration with Lilly Diabetes Solution Center will help decrease the complications of diabetes by making sure that access to affordable insulin is available to improve the quality of life in the African American community.
Homeless services in the city of Portland have reviewed the weather forecast, and last night's temperatures reached below 32 degrees. Anyone seeking shelter should contact 211-INFO. You can reach this by dialing 211 or visiting www.211info.org. 211 info will be available to identify shelter and warming center resources and review transportation options 24/7 for Multnomah County. Individuals interested in donating cold weather gear and clothing should seek information at the 211 website. The city has suggested that community members be vigilant, watching out for their neighbors and, quote, in need. While the city suggests that neighbors call the police on people who are perceived to be afflicted by the cold weather, anyone who has concerns about someone they observe who appears to be unprepared for the cold weather should contact Joint PDX at 503-232-2031. Again, Joint PDX at 503-232-2031.
News. Following at 5:30, it's Counterspin. At 6, it's The Spin by Esther Armagh, where global black women will be discussing fashion and cultural appropriation. At 7, The Struggle with Alyssa Pariah. Tonight's weather, light rain, cloudy with showers overnight, lows around 35 degrees, winds of 10 to 20 miles per hour, and a chance of rain of 70%. Tomorrow's weather, cloudy. A high of 45 degrees, winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. In history today, it marks the 77th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. In 1942, a naval base in Hawaii was attacked by Japanese forces, killing 2,403 Americans. The quote of the day is from, quote, The quote of the day is from Maya Angelou. And it begins, my wish for you is that you continue to be who you are and how you are, to astonish a mean world with your acts of kindness. Maya Angelou.
Last week, the Portland State University School of Social Work, or SSW, sponsored a suicide prevention training to address the rise in suicide across the U.S. and, more importantly, here in Oregon. According to the CDC, Oregon has seen a 28.2% increase in suicides from 1999 to 2016. Over half of those who have died by suicide do not have a known mental health condition. In Oregon, according to the CDC, a person dies from suicide every 11 hours. A person is more likely to die from suicide than homicide, and suicide is the second leading cause of death for adults aged 18 to 35. This is significant for Portland State University, where the average age of students is 26. The training, Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, or ASSIST, is a two-day interactive workshop that teaches individuals how to spot someone who may be at risk for suicide and how to appropriately intervene to help keep the person safe. In the future, the School of Social Work hopes to partner with other PSU departments and outside agencies to offer this training across the campus and to the community.
The Northwest Film Center hosted Sun Ra, A Joyful Noise, the 1979 documentary about the black jazz composer, bandleader, piano, and synthesizer player Sun Ra was a poet known for his experimental music, cosmic philosophy, prolific output, and theatrical performances. Local artists had the opportunity to share their thoughts on black injustice, and the evening ended by honoring Sun Ra. The exhibit continues to be available for those to see at the Portland Art Museum.
And now, it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonio Gonzalez. The U.S. Senate passed the law known as Savannah's Act, aimed at improving law enforcement's response to missing and murdered Native women and girls. The law, introduced by North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp, passed on a voice vote. New Mexico Senator Tom Udall, the vice chair of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, praised the action and urges his colleagues in the House to approve the bill as well. He says it will improve the number of cases that are solved. The law is named after Savannah LaFontaine Graywind, who was murdered last year in Fargo. Family and friends complained police did not follow up on obvious leads in a timely way, which could have led to the apprehension of suspects sooner. Advisors to Elizabeth Warren worry the Massachusetts senator has damaged her relationships to tribes with her announcement that a DNA test shows she has a Native American ancestor. That's according to a report in the New York Times this week that says Warren may be considering issuing an apology. Tribes and Native groups criticized Warren's actions, reiterating that genetic tests do not determine tribal citizenship. Meanwhile, Deb Haaland, a member of Laguna Pueblo and the newly elected congresswoman from New Mexico, defended Warren in the article, saying Warren was merely seeking a connection to her past, not prove tribal membership. Collectors and buyers of Native art should abandon investments in cultural and sacred tribal patrimony. That's the message delivered from almost a dozen and a half organizations and tribes in a joint statement issued this week. They urge collectors to focus on contemporary Native art instead of what is commonly called antiquities and artifacts. Association on American Indian Affairs Executive Director Shannon Keller O'Loughlin says auction houses and dealers are not yet getting the message that they are perpetuating unethical, if not illegal, practices.
What we were finding as an organization is that we really needed to educate the public as well as collectors and auction houses that it was not just one lone organization. Of course, we've been around for almost 100 years as the Association on American Indian Affairs, but that this is a united front and that there were many organizations, many academics, many experts in the field, even non-Indian experts in the field, that believe the sale of our cultural and sacred patrimony is wrong, that it violates tribal laws, and that there are other state and federal laws outside of the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act that could apply when people are trying to sell our items of sacred and cultural patrimony.
At the very least, O'Loughlin says, dealers should be required to notify affected tribes when items are going up for sale. Last month, the AAIA shut down a planned sale of items in Boston. The organization contends the sellers failed to properly consult with tribes, and the sale of many of the items violates NAGPRA. The trial continues in Omaha for a police officer in the death of a Rosebud Sioux man who died after the officer pulled the trigger of a taser stun gun 12 times. Meanwhile, the Nebraska Attorney General is arguing to reverse the decision to release the grand jury transcript that led to the prosecution of officers Scotty Payne and Ryan McClarty. The Lincoln Journal Star reports the state argues releasing the report jeopardizes participation of witnesses in future grand jury inquiries. But lawyers for the Omaha World Herald newspaper and TV station KETV say the state's public records law clearly favors release of the documents. The arguments are based on the death of Zachary Bareheels, who suffered from schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. He died shortly after the officers punched and stunned him in a confrontation last year. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by AARP. AARP creates and connects people to unique tools and programs, helps conserve personal resources, and tackles issues that matter most to individuals, families, and communities. More at aarp.org. Support provided by BNSF Railway. BNSF is proud to be a gold-level memorial donor for the creation of the National Native American Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. More at americanindian.si.edu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Sabrina Fulton, the mother of Trayvon Martin, will speak January 21, 2019 at Oregon State University as part of the university's Martin Luther King Jr. celebration. In 2012, at the age of 17, Trayvon Martin died after being shot by a neighborhood vigilante in Florida. The publicity surrounding his death and the ensuing trial catapulted the country into a national debate. Since then, Fulton has co-authored a book about her son and become a spokesperson for turning family tragedy into social change. Fulton's talk at OSU is free and open to the public and will take place from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Austin Auditorium in the LaSalle Stewart Center. Free tickets are currently available there. In addition to Fulton's keynote address, the celebration includes a peace breakfast and a peace march. Three legacy awards are presented to community members at the peace breakfast: the Phyllis S. Lee Award, the Francis Dancy Hooks Award, and the Oscar Umberto Montemayor Award. The events of January 21st are part of a week-long celebration of Martin Luther King at Oregon State. Other events will be announced at a later date and will take place from January 19th to the 25th.
Japan's parliament passed a controversial immigration law to mend its outstanding labor gap. The population in Japan has been dropping by about 400,000 people per year. 28% of the population is over 65 years old. Japan aims to attract and, quote, semi-skilled workers, end quote, from other Asian countries for industries ranging from construction to elderly care and hospitality. Under this new law, foreign workers will be granted a five-year visa with a possibility of extension. However, full immigration is still discouraged. Critics claim this law does not consider the well-being of the foreign workers, since it neglects the subjects of housing, workers' rights, social welfare, and acclimation. Opposition leaders explain that the law seems to benefit the workers by mandating equal pay to benefit citizens and non-citizens, but in reality, most of the workers will be hired at rural areas where the pay is much lower than in the cities.
Representatives from Yemen's government and the Houthi rebel movement gathered in Sweden for the UN-sponsored peace talks. The UN Special Envoy to Yemen is implementing confidence-building measures to promote constructive engagement between the two sides. As a part of these measures, Yemen's Saudi-backed government agreed to a prisoner swap of around 1,000 Houthi rebels in exchange for 2,000 pro-government forces. While government officials are slowly laying foundation for ways to de-escalate the war, the Yemeni people are facing the largest humanitarian crisis in the world. Constant hostilities and economic decline has left over 1 million civil servants unpaid, 22 million people in need of immediate aid, 7 million are at risk of famine and death, with only 50% of health facilities functioning due to the bombing from Saudi Arabia.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Friday, December 7th, 2018. Here are the main points again. Multnomah County cold weather advisory, Christmas tree permits are available, and in international news, Yemen, Hamant, humanitarian crisis. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Rachel Hartley and Tammy. Our engineer is Aaron Yankee. And the director of Evening News is Rachel Hartley. A podcast and transcript of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Coming up on Monday morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. At 9, the Old Mole Variety Hour burrows down to the roots of the great issues of our time. At 10, on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein looks at the resistance to massive frack gas projects across the Pacific Northwest. At 11, On the Ground Radio breaks down the facts and fiction of George H.W. Bush, plus the segregationist roots of school choice and headlines on the Green New Deal. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on donate. Good night for the KBOO Evening News. I'm Linda. Good night.
I'm Rachel.
And good night, Erin.
Bye, Erin.
Good night.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience. KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Shine With Q 15 years on Sunday, December 9th at 10:30 a.m. at the Portland Marriott downtown in Portland. Shine is the annual brunch and fundraiser for the Q Center, a place of resilience, strength, and love. This year marks 15 years since Q Center began serving the community. At Shine, there will be a cabaret, brunch, and honoring of Q Center heroes. Again, that's Shine with Q 15 years on Sunday, December 9th at 10:30 a.m. at the Portland Marriott, 1401 Southwest NATO Parkway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm at the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, I'm J.J. Johnson, host of the Gospel and More program, Sundays from 6 to 8 a.m. We are collecting yarn to make wool caps for the homeless community. Drop off yarn and caps at KBOO 20 Southeast 8th, Monday through Fridays, 9 to 5. We are also looking for knitters. For more information, contact KBOO Gospel and More at gmail.com or go to kboo.fm/gospel and more. The yarn and cap drive will end January the 31st.
That was The Soul Investigators with Downtown, and stay tuned now for Counterspin. Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, early this year, Congress approved a budget of some $700 billion for the Department of Defense, more than the Trump administration even requested. Corporate media, for whom proposals like free college tuition or universal health care are all about the price tag, didn't even blink. The Pentagon budget was a rare act of bipartisanship, the New York Times told readers, that sets forth a muscular vision of America as a global power. That article had three sources, two approving state officials, and a rep from a think tank funded by defense contractors, who said the U.S. military is underfunded. The Times didn't find it relevant that the U.S. already spent more on defense than the next eight largest countries combined, six of whom are U.S. allies, and the idea of standing that 700